We spoke a lot in the past about the Sinat Chinam and the concept of Sinat Chinam and exactly what was there. Some of it we will discuss today too, but I want today to study with you a piece of Gemara, probably the most famous piece of Gemara that relates to Tisha B'Av, that talks about the Churban. Why was the destruction and how did it happen? And that's the famous story of Kamtza Ubar Kamtza. Those are two names, or names of two people. And let's read the story and try to translate it, because in the reading there are some interesting details in the story that will shed some light on it. So the Gemara starts with the following. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, and he quotes a posuk. And the posuk is Ashrei Odom Mefached Tomid Umakshe Libo Yipoel Boro. The translation is, blessed is the person who is always afraid, and somebody who is hardening his heart will end up in bad situation. That's more or less the translation. That's the beginning. That's like the opening scenario, if you want, of the case. And then the Gemara starts with the case. And what was the case? Says the Gemara the following. Akamtza ubar kamtza charu Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim was destroyed because of those two people, one named Kamtza and the other one is named Bar Kamtza. What was the story with those two people? The Ahu Gavra, there was a person, the Rachmei Kamtza ubar debavei Bar Kamtza. There was a person that Kamtza was his friend and Bar Kamtza was his enemy. That's the simple translation of the words. And this guy made a party. We don't know what was the reason for the party, but he made a party. And he told his shamash, his servant, to go and invite Kamtza to the party. To go and invite his friend to the party. This messenger made a mistake, and instead of inviting the friend Bar Kamtza, he went and invited Bar Kamtza, his enemy. And Bar Kamtza was surprised, I'm assuming, to get an invitation from an enemy, but he decided if he was invited, he's going to come in. So the host finds suddenly his enemy, Bar Kamtza, sitting in the party. And he asks him, "My bait hacha, what are you doing here? Kumpuk, get out." That's what the owner is telling now, Bar Kamtza. So this Bar Kamtza is telling the owner, "Since I'm here already, let me stay here. And I will pay you the cost of my food, whatever is this that I'm eating." He tells him no. He says, "I will pay you half the cost of the entire meal." He tells him no. He says, "I will pay you the cost of the entire meal." He still tells him no. And finally, they says the Gemara, "Nakte beyode veukme veafke." He picked him up with his hand and led him outside of the house. Naturally, Bar Kamtza was insulted and ashamed, and he decided to do something. But what bothered him is the following. Omar oil vehavuyat verabonon veloy mochubei. Since there was a lot of rabbis sitting there in this party, and nobody said one word about it, what they saw, what happening. Shma minakanichalu. Apparently, they were happy with what happening. I'm going to take revenge. What was the revenge that he was going to take, or that he took? He went to the king and told the king, "The Jews revolted against you. Mordu b'chol Yehudoi. The Jews revolted against you." The king told them, "How do I know that what you're telling me is true?" He said, "You can give him a test. Send them a korban, send them an animal, a behemoth, for a korban, and see if they will take it. See if they will actually bring this behemoth as a korban in Beis HaMikdash." So he did. On the way to the Beis HaMikdash, or to back to Eretz Israel, this Bar Kamtza went and injured the animal. But it was an injury that is not very apparent, that for korbanot it's enough to puzzle the behemoth to disqualify it. But for the regular eye in the world, it's nothing. So the Gemara says he either put an injury bedukin sheba'ayin, in some inner part of the eyes, or in the lips. He found two places that he can put an injury on the animal that will disqualify it from the korban, and naturally the Jews didn't want to bring it a korban. And they knew that there may be some severe consequences to not bringing this animal that the king sent as a korban. So sabru rabbanan lekruvei mishum shlom malchus. Chachomim thought to bring the animal anyway as a korban, just for shlom malchus, because they wanted to have peace with the king. Omar lehu Rav Zechariah ben Avkulas. Rav Zechariah ben Avkulas was one of the people that were in the Chachomim or in the Sanhedrin. He says, you can't do it. Why? Because if you do it, people will come to say that every animal that has a mum, that has some disqualification, you can bring it to a korban. You can't do it. Well, if you can't do it, what was the other option to avoid a catastrophe? To kill Bar Kamtza, because he put in danger Klal Yisrael. So they wanted to kill him. So this Rav Zechariah told them, you can't do it. Why? Because then the people will think that every time that somebody puts a mum, or put some kind of an injury on an animal that is brought to a korban, is mechuyev misa. So they didn't do anything. Naturally, Bar Kamtza went back to the Kesar, and the rest is history. And the finishing statement in this story in the Gemara is, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, an betanuto shel Rav Zechariah ben Avkulas. The literal translation is the humbleness of Rav Zechariah ben Avkulas. Hechriva et Betenu, caused the destruction of the temple, Besofer Sechalenu, and the burning of the temple, Vehiglisonu Me'arzenu, and caused us the Golos. So we have here a story of a party, and there's a mistaken invitation that is sent to someone, and the someone is coming and is begging to stay since he's here already, trying to avoid any public shaming, and nothing helps him. He's being kicked out, and the Chachomim are sitting there and not saying anything, and he's doing what he's doing. So there's a tremendous amount of literature written on this story and the relationship that it has to Tisha B'Av, okay? But this is the cause, according to the Gemara, this is the cause for the destruction. So we all understand that this one story is not the cause of the destruction, because it's impossible to think for one second that this huge destruction that we're still suffering from is the result of one party. It's quite clear that this was nothing more than just an example of life in Yerushalayim, if you want, at that time. But there is a few questions that we need to understand, and why does the Gemara bring them, and that will shed a light on understanding it, and probably, not probably, but some ramification that we have to our daily life today. Because you have to remember that most of the Rishonim are saying that the reason that we do not have Beis HaMikdash yet is because the underlying causes that for the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, the Sinas Chinam, still exist today. And as long as it will, we will not have the Beis HaMikdash. So a lot of those things that we're going to analyze this story will have ramification to our day-to-day life. So the first thing is that the Rishonim and Acharonim are talking about, what is this pasuk, the opening statement of Rabbi Yochanan, that says, Ashrei Odom Mefachet Tomid, blessed is the person who is always afraid, Umakshel Libo Yipol Bara, and somebody who hardened his heart, will end up in a bed, his end will be bad. So there's interesting three approaches to this. The Rashi says that Rabbi Yochanan says, somebody has to worry, what is the consequence of doing or not doing something? This is a story that nobody involved in this knew or calculated properly the consequences. The owner, the Bala Simche, did not calculate the consequence of shaming somebody in public. Chachomim did not calculate the consequences of not protesting. And we'll talk soon, why did Chachomim even saw it proper not to protest and not tell the owner, what you're doing is wrong, okay? And Bar Kamtza probably did not think that this will lead to this huge destruction. He wanted to take revenge of a few rabbis that were there, and the owner of the one, the Balabos, that made the Simcha, but he didn't think anything. And Chachomim, when they dealt with the Rav Zechariah, they told them, don't do it and don't do it, did not really realize that this is time to put their foot down and step on and say, we have to do something different and not worry about a little minutia detail here and there, because the results, the consequences, are catastrophe. That according to the Rashi. So Ashrei Adam Mefachet Tom, it means it's good to be afraid, and the fear is not just of what you're doing, the fear is the consequence of my action or the consequences of my inaction. Okay, that's according to the Rashi. According to the Tosfos, it's something very similar. There's a Gemara, the Gemara says there's lechora a contradiction between two phrases in the Tanakh. One phrase we just read, Ashrei Adam Mefachet Tomid, blessed is the person who's always afraid. There's another pasuk in Yeshayahu that says, Pachadu Betzion Chatoim. If somebody, the people who were constantly afraid in Yerushalayim and Zion, those are the people that were the sinners. Well, that means that I should not be constantly afraid. As the Gemara, Lechora, there is a contradiction between the two psukim. So the Gemara is answering that there is a difference between Divrei Torah, when somebody learns something and he's constantly afraid that he'll forget, that's why he's going over and over and over again, that's a real and justified fear, than to somebody who is just afraid for no reason. Says the Tosfos, Chachomim here had a good reason to be afraid that what they doing is wrong. The owner, the Baal HaSimcha, had a good reason to be afraid that what he's doing he is wrong, and yet he was not afraid. That's why Rabbi Yochanan start the Pasuk and says, the Pasuk says you have to be afraid and think of what you're doing, if it's right or wrong. There was no fear like this here. That's the beginning of the opening statement, that we have to think about the consequences of our actions or our inactions. Okay. Now comes the question that everybody asks. The lashon of the Gemara is Akamtza Ubar Kamtza Chareb Yerushalayim. That the reason for the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash was because of Kamtza, that's the guy that the owner liked, and Bar Kamtza, that's the guy that the owner hated. Why is the guy that the owner liked is involved in this thing? He was a friend of somebody who made a party. We don't know even if he was in there. We don't even, the Gemara doesn't say. We're assuming he was in there, and there's some clues. But why is the fear, why is this that we're blaming this guy for the destruction of Beis HaMikdash, of the Golos? Similar or equally to the guy of Bar Kamtza, that's the guy that went and did everything. That's a question that everybody of the Mefoshim is asking. And I want to give you just a few of the most pertinent answers. The Maharal is starting with a statement. The Maharal says the following, Ki bishvil sinat chinam nechrab Yerushalayim. We know that Yerushalayim was destroyed because of sinat chinam, of hatred for no reason. We spoke in the past, Rabbi Yisai, I just want you to remember, that the concept of sinat chinam does not talk about people who are crazy. So when we get up in the morning and we decided that we hate somebody for no reason, we have to go to a psychiatrist. Most of the times when we hate someone, we at least assign a reason for it. And sometimes the reasons are quote-unquote real and supposedly justified. So the concept of sinas chinam is not talking about people who are nuts and suddenly decide to hate somebody. It's talking about people who are reasonable people and think that they have a reason to hate someone, and they justify it, and it's still called sinas chinam. It's called hatred without cause. Because what you think is a justified cause usually is not justified. Usually. We spoke about it in the past, we'll mention it soon. Says the Maharal, why is sinas chinam cause for the destruction of the temple? We can have other punishment. What is the temple so much dependent on avoiding of sinas chinam? Says the Maharal, כעל ידי בית המקדש בירושלים נעשו כל ישראל כאיש אחד. The base of Mikdash was the unifying factor of Klal Yisrael. לפי שהיה להם מזבח אחד, There was only one Mizbeach, one Kodesh HaKodoshim. There was one place that everybody could bring and should bring their korbanos. Ve'lo hayu rashoim livnot kol echad ve'echad bama le'atzmo. If you wanted to bring a korban, you had to go to the Beis HaMikdash. There was a time that people could build the bamot, everybody could build a little altar and bring the korban. But at the time of Beis HaMikdash, it was forbidden. So we have here one place that really unifies Klal Yisrael. And when Klal Yisrael is not unified, this place is not. It's being destroyed. Says the Ma'aran now. Ve'yesh lecha libonen, you should think. Ma'asa kamta, what was the wrongdoing that Kamsa, uma pisho uma chatao? What is the thing that Kamsa did that he is getting an equal blame to Baal Kamsa? Sorry. Says the Ma'aral. אבל יש לך לדעת, you ought to know, כי על ידי זה שהיה באותו הדור שנאת חינם ומחלוקת, since hatred, for no reason, but just let's put now hatred, was rampant in this generation, there was a lot of machlokes, a lot of disagreements, a lot of fights, ודרך המקום שיש בו שנאת חינם, you know what happened when a place where hatred is rampant? שיקח לו אוהב לחלוק עם אחר ששונא לו. Somebody takes somebody who is supposedly his friend, so he can be supported in his hatred to someone else. It's almost providing a justification for my hatred. Not only I hate him, but I have a friend who is also hate him. So the friendship, says the Ma'aral, was not a true, solid, positive friendship. It was more a friendship to support the hatred of the other. וזאת האהבה עצמה, this kind of a friendship, היא באמת חילוק ופירוד ומחלוקת, כמו השנאה. This kind of a friendship, when you are taking someone to help you hate someone else, to support you in the hatred of someone else, it's equal to hatred. Says the Ma'aral that this friend was really not a friend. This friend was somebody who just supported hatred. That's why the destruction was by both of them. A very interesting view and very true view of what happened when hatred is rampant. We really becoming looking for support for our hatred, and whoever is willing to support us, or whoever we think is willing to support us, become quote unquote a friend. A friendship like this, says the Ma'aral, is nothing more than just the other side of a hatred, as negative as the hatred. Bnayahu ben Yehoyada, which was one of the Sforim that wrote written Agadot Chazal, he says that the reason that Kamsa is equally blamed to Baal Kamsa is simply, he could have protested and he didn't. Kamsa was sitting there and he saw what happened, okay? He is the friend, supposedly he has some influence over his friend, the guy that is doing making the party now, and he doesn't say a word. Says the Bnayahu ben Yehoyada, if you don't say a word, if you do not protest, you are equally to blame. The Gemara says that kol dor shelo nivna bet hamikdash beyamav ke'ilu nechrav. Every generation where Beis HaMikdash is not built during this generation time, it's if it caused the destruction. And the reason is, we spoke before, because the underlying reasons why Beis HaMikdash is not being built is because those reasons that caused the destruction are still here. So similarly, says the Ben Yehoyada, that one of the things that we have to do if we're a good friend, and we gave in the past a whole lecture about what's true friendship, is to be able to tell someone you're doing wrong. And this guy did not do it, that's why he's getting an equal blame. There's some interesting nuances in the Hasidic Kisforim about this story, and I just will bring it almost as a side note. So, the Kotzke Rebbe, or the Rebbe of the Kotzke Rebbe, said the following. He said, what happened here? The Gemara is telling us a story, if you think about it, that there's a party, and the owner is sending, the Balabois is sending somebody to bring his friend, Kamsa. And when Baal Kamsa is coming, it seems that the party is already going on. Because right away, the owner starts to say, what are you doing here? And Chachomim are already there. That means that what happens, says Kotzke Rebbe, apparently, Kamsa did not show up. Why didn't Kamsa show up? Because he was not invited. Because the owner in the last second thought that I forgot to invite my friend Kamsa. He said, you learn from here that if a true friend makes a party, makes a simcha, you ought to come even if you're not invited. Because if Kamsa would have showed up, the whole thing would have been, would have not, okay? So the Chiddush Yarim wants to say exactly the opposite. Okay, and I'm saying all of those as a side note because it's something that happened to us in our day-to-day life. The Chiddush Yarim says exactly the opposite. The Chiddush Yarim is saying that when Kamsa, when Bar Kamsa, when this guy, that he knows that the owner really doesn't like him, when this guy suddenly gets an invitation, the first thing he thinks, it has to be a mistake. My name is so similar to the other guy's name that maybe he made a mistake. So he did himself, he gave himself a test. I'll go to the party. If I'll see the other guy there, then I know it wasn't a mistake because he invited him and now he invites me too. He wants to make peace and everything is okay. But if I won't see him there, then I have some good reasons to believe that this was a mistaken invitation. So he comes and he sees his friend there. He sees his friend there. So he said, oh, it wasn't a mistake. Say the Chiddush Yarim, his friend has come without an invitation. He shouldn't have come. Just the opposite. And if he said, but however, he says that if the friend would have come and would have come on time, then there wouldn't be the problem. If the friend would have come on time, then there was no reason to send suddenly in the last second an invitation, come. The party started, where are you? Says the Chiddush Yarim, and it's so apropos for the Gerer Rebbes, says the Chiddush Yarim, when somebody invites you, and it's written that the chuppah is 6 o'clock, don't show at 8. Show on time. Because if you'll show on time, this would have prevented the whole thing. There would not be a reason to send in the last second, hey, Kamsa, where are you? Okay, just side, interesting side notes. The Maharsho says that Kamsa was the father of Bar Kamsa. In the Aramaic, the word Bar also means the son of, okay? He says, Kamsa was the father of Bar Kamsa, and that's why he's being blamed. You knew that somebody has bad relationship with your son, why don't you do something about it? Why do you let it go? Okay? So the fact that it is father and son, a lot of the Achronim and the Ben Yoyada says that the Rashi does not agree that it was the father and son, and because according to the Rashi, the Gemara should have said, Kamsa Ubrei, Kamsa and his son. Not Kamsa Ubar Kamsa. But anyway, there's a few interesting explanations to the what happened. But let's first talk about why did Chachomim say a word? The rabbis are sitting there, they seeing what's happening, not a word. So there's a few pirushim. The Chassam Sofer starts with the following. The Maharsho, by the way, says a simple teretz. They didn't say a word because it's not going to help. וזה הלוכה כשם שמצווה לומר דברים הנשמעים, כך מצווה שלא לומר דברים שאינם נשמעים. The same way that you have an obligation to say things, that there is a chance that somebody else will listen to them, there is also a mitzvah to shut up when you think that the other one is not going to do anything about it. Okay? So says the Maharsho that Chachamim probably didn't think it's going to help. Okay, but there's an interesting Chassam Sofer, which I think we can learn a lot of it. The Gemara asks a question. There's two reasons brought why the destruction happened. The first one, the Gemara says, Lochov Yerushalayim ela she'emidu dineim al din toira ve'lo yovdu lifni meshua sadim. The reason that Yerushalayim was destroyed, listen carefully, is because all what they did, they just went according to din toira. They never went above and beyond what the Din Torah requires. And for this, there was a destruction. We can talk a lot about it, but we spoke about in the past, the Din Torah in our court judicial system doesn't tell you what's right and what's wrong. It tells you what you're obligated to pay and what you're not obligated to pay. There are many times that we're telling people you're not obligated to pay, but Bidin Shamayim you'll be chayed. You have to remember that after 120 years when you come there, you'll be chayed. Okay. But that's one Gemara. And then the other Gemara says that it was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam. How do we justify or how we can put those two things together? Ask the Chassam Sofer. Says the Chassam Sofer the following, a very interesting thing. The Gemara says, How can you hate somebody? The Torah says, if you see the donkey of your enemy lying under the weight of what he's carrying, you have to do something about it. That means that the Torah says that there can't be an enemy. Says the Gemara, how can it be that there is somebody can be an enemy? Says the Gemara, that if somebody sees his friend doing something wrong, he's seeing that he is not doing, he's having wrong relationship with a woman. But there's only one witness. There's nothing he can do about it because one witness doesn't help anything. Says the Gemara, he's allowed to hate him, but he's not allowed to go to Beis Din. Because if he goes to Beis Din, he's not accomplishing anything. And actually, if he goes to Beis Din, you're allowed to hate the guy. Because the only reason he's doing it is to be Motzi Shem Ra on you. There's nothing else that can be accomplished for one witness. Okay. Says the Tosis there that even though you may have some circumstances where you're allowed to hate someone, you shouldn't demonstrate it. You shouldn't demonstrate it. You should keep it for yourself as much as possible. Why? Listen to the Tosis. Says the Tosis because in relationship between people is kind. People see each other. Levish Oreo Kamayim El Ponim El Ponim. So when I know that you hate me, I start to hate you. That's the natural thing. So by me demonstrating hatred to you, which may be justified, I'm causing you to hate me, which is not justified. Says the thesis that that's why you shouldn't demonstrate it. But this is, again, everybody is with me. If I have a good reason to hate somebody, I should not demonstrate this hatred to the other guy, because if I am, I'm causing him to hate me. And that hatred is not justified. Says Tosis, this is the Fnimishuot Adin. This is if I want to go above and beyond what is the obligation of a normal human being. Says the Chasam Sofer, V'yesh Loimar, Sha'edyotot Nichshelu B'Sinas Chinam. The normal people in the street, the Balabos and Kamsa and Bal Kamsa, their sin was hatred, Sinas Chinam, for no reason. However, Chachomim, that were sitting there, they went up in Torah, and they thought that if the owner hates Bar Kamsa, there's probably a justified reason for it. And if there's a justified reason for it, we can't do anything about it, he's right. We don't have too much time, and there's a lot to say. I want to repeat to you what I'm doing every year before Tisha B'Av, and that's reading to you the Akdome of the Netziv, the Tzicha of the Netziv to Sefer Bereishis. And I think that this can explain the whole questions on this case very quickly. So the Netziv is saying, this is the Tichat Sefer Bereishis that I think everybody should frame and hang it in their wall in the office or in the room. Zeh Sefer, says the Netziv, Nikra Bereishis. The Sefer Bereishis is called Sefer HaYosher. There's two psukim in Tanakh that refer to Sefer Bereishis as Sefer HaYashar. Why is Sefer Bereishit called Sefer HaYashar? Because it's talking about Avraham, Yitzchok, VeYaakov, Shenikru Yeshorim. The Oves HaKadoshim were called Yeshorim. Who called the Oves HaKadoshim Yeshorim? No more and no less than Bilam HaRosha. Bilam says, Tomois Nafshi Mois Yeshorim, and the Gemara says that he refers to Avraham, Yitzchok, VeYaakov. So we call Sefer Bereishis Sefer HaYosher. The Yesh Lehavin asked the Netziv, Ma Tam Koro Bilam Esavuseinu B'Yishem Yeshorim V'Loi Tzadikim O Chasidim and V'chule. U'Bilam Itpalel Shetehe Achritoi that he will die like Moise Yeshorim, like Avraham, Yitzchok V'Yaakov. Says the Netziv. V'Inyan. Let me explain it to you, says the Netziv. The Nitba'er B'Shirat Azinu Al HaPasuk Hatzur Tamim Po'olo Tzadik v'yosher hu. We write HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a tzadik and a yosher. Okay? Says the Gemara, the Shvach Yosher Nemar lehatznik din HaKadosh Baruch Hu churban bayis sheni sheho yodoyer ikesh uptaltoyer. That the generation of bayis sheni, when the second Besmidot, was a generation that was krum. I don't know how do you say uptaltol. All round, nothing straight. Uperashnu. Now I want you to listen carefully to the words because that will open the whole story. Shehoyu tzadikim v'chasidim v'amelei Torah. Listen, that's the lotion of the Gemara. Tzadikim v'chasidim v'amelei Torah. This generation of the second Beis Hamidrash was the generation of Talmidei Chachomim, tzadikim, and people who sat and learned. Ach loy hoyu yeshorim ba'alichos shalomim. But when it came to day-to-day life, they weren't straight. Al ken what was the thing that they weren't straight? Shechoshdu et mi shera'u shenohek sheloi kedaton be'ilos Hashem shutzduki v'apikoyres. They thought that if somebody wears a kippah sulga, or if somebody is a litvak, or if somebody is a chosid, or if somebody, whatever have you, he's not doing the way I'm doing it, he's an apikoyres. So it's doing my way, and if it's not doing it my way, you know good. Okay? Says, V'ahubal yedei zel izdei shvichus domim. V'azeh o yotzidu kadin. Now listen to the words. She'akodesh boruch hu yoshohu. HaKodesh Baruch Hu is very straight. Ve'eino soivel tzadikim ka'elu. And he doesn't tolerate this kind of tzadikim. Rabbi said, we're talking about the generation that was, according to the description, Edoyodeo. We're not talking about street people. We're talking tzadikim, v'chassidim, v'amelei Torah. Yet, their biggest sin was that they weren't straight. There was no tolerance for any deviation. There was no tolerance for anything that if I think that's the way to do it, that's the way to do it. And that caused the Beis Hamikdash. And there Yashvach, why Avraham, Yitzchok, v'Yaakov are called Yeshorim? Because Avraham, Yitzchok, v'Yaakov wanted the good of everyone. If they afilu oivde elilim mechuorim, Avraham Avinu wanted to save Sdom. Sdom were Reshoim Gemurim, but yet wanted to save them because they were the creation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why they called Yeshorim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Yoshor, and he doesn't like people who go around about with ways. And the problem is that says the Netziv, Afal Gav Shu Leshem Shomayim, even though those people think that they're doing it Leshem Shomayim, for the good of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's what he wants. It was destroyed. But I think with this we have a very simple explanation to the whole story of Kantzor Bar Kantzor. Kantzor, the owner, the Balabos who made the party, did not like Bar Kantzor because he thought he's an apikoyres. He's no good. And if he's no good, if he's an apikoyres, not only he doesn't invite him, but he shouldn't be here. You're not allowed to have him here. Because who wants to have an apikoyres sitting in the party? And God forbid, if I will think for one, if I'll let him sit here, people will think that I'm giving him a hechsher, that I'm saying he's okay. I can't do it. So despite the request of Bar Kantzor to stay there, he didn't allow him. And he didn't allow him because he thought that that's what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants him to do. This person is no good, he's a koifer, whatever call it, okay? Yes, cannot be here. Unfortunately, and we can see it so much in our generation, unfortunately, the people that he invited to this party probably were people from his own party, or from his own yeshiva, or from his own sect, whatever you want to call it, okay? And they were in the same opinion. So they didn't say a word. They didn't say a word. And I come to Bar Kantzor for Yerushalayim. Because this door was not a door Yosho, it was door Ike Shuptautel. They did everything, and they did it, B'Shem Hashem, they did it with a vengeance, and with a religious zest. I once said that the Pasuk says, and I'll finish with this, Yeshorim Darkei Hashem, Tzadikim Yehuban, Upoishim Yikoshlubon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu ways are straight. Yeshorim Darkei Hashem. Tzadikim will go in those straight ways. Poishim Yikoshlubon. The Poishim are going to fall in those ways because they will think that what they're doing is the right way. What they're doing is what Hashem wants. If we will just stop thinking every time when we talk about someone, or every time we treat someone, every time that we do any interaction with someone, and we'll ask ourselves this simple question, is what I am doing is something that I am sure HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants? And if the answer is, even if you have 1%, 1/10 of 1/1,000,000th of 1% sofek, treat it like kosher food. We don't eat food unless we know 100% that it's kosher. If we have the slightest sofek, we don't touch it. We should do the same thing when we're dealing with other people. Have an easy fest, everyone.